This is Eddie Hyatt. This is the Awakening Podcast. I'm so glad you've joined me today. Our theme this week is the war on America's Christian past. There are malevolent, bad, wicked forces that want to radically transform America into a socialist, Marxist state and society. And one of their strategies for doing this is to destroy America's Christian past. For as George Orwell, who wrote the classic 1984, George Orwell said, "Whoever controls the past controls the future." Because you see, a nation defines its sense of identity from its past, from its history. And if you want to radically transform a nation, to radically transform a people, a culture, then you have to tamper with their history. You have to change and revise and rewrite their history. And so that is what is happening in our culture today. There is an all-out attempt to destroy America's Christian past. For as Karl Marx himself said, people without a heritage are easily persuaded. I published a book in 2012 called America's Revival Heritage. And then we're reading a lot from this book published in 2019 called 1726, in which I document how that the Great Awakening, which we talked about yesterday, had a direct bearing not only in the founding of this nation, but on the elimination and the abolition of slavery on this continent, and how that was unique to so much of the rest of the world, where slavery was still being accepted and practiced in Africa, in Asia, in the Middle East. You know, slavery is not an American thing. Slavery is a sin thing. It's a part of the fall. And by the way, the Ottoman Empire, the Islamic Ottoman Empire, during its 400 years of existence, enslaved millions of white Europeans. And even decades after the Emancipation Proclamation in America, the Ottoman Empire was still buying and selling white slaves in their territories. And so slavery is a horrible and a terrible thing. And what I am seeking to show you today is how it was the Christian influence in America, in Western civilization, and particularly in America, and in what has been called the Great Awakening, that brought about the end of slavery on this continent. You know, as this Great Awakening began to come forth in the 1700s, I dated at 1726, the first evidence we see. There's evidence of days of prayer and fasting and God, people asking God to pour out His Spirit. But then we see evidence of the answer to prayer and these great outpourings of God's Spirit and entire towns being awakened by the Spirit of God. Now, one thing that characterized this awakening was a desire for evangelism, to share the gospel with people who had not heard the gospel, who did not know Christ, because there was this real sense that everybody had to hear that the world was, apart from Christ, the world was lost and on its way to hell. And so these evangelists that began to arise out of the Great Awakening, it was not a bless me revival. It was not people wanting to feel a bigger goosebump and running here and there where they could get a bigger blessing. No, there was a great desire, evangelistic desire, to share the good news with everyone. And this included the marginalized of society, the Native Americans, the blacks, both slave and free. And it was in this Great Awakening that racial and cultural barriers were breached. Let me just read. We'll talk about how the revival, go ahead and talk about how it impacted the black population, both slave and free. And then out of it came this great abolition movement that eventually brought about the end of slavery on this continent. And so many of these evangelists, out of this desire to make the good news known of the salvation Christ had provided for His death, They went everywhere. They went to the South and to plantations and pleaded with slave owners to let them preach the gospel there. And as a result, many slaves were coming to Christ, and free blacks were also coming to Christ. And their lives were being transformed, and cultural barriers were being breached. And I want to read just a quote from one of these evangelists. His name was, just bear with me, let me turn over to that. His name was William Davies, and he went to the South and preaching to blacks, both slave and free, and particularly targeted them. And so you see, the preaching, the way they preached, had a leveling effect. Because they said everybody's in the same boat. It doesn't matter if you're a master, a slave owner, or a slave. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you don't know Christ, you're on your way to hell. And there's only one solution for your dilemma. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ. So this had a sense of leveling society and putting people on the same level the way they preached. Now, those first evangelists did not attack the institution of slavery. They felt that their purpose was more in getting people ready for the next world rather than trying to improve their lot in this one. In their mind, in their thinking, a slave on his way to heaven was far better off than a slave master on his way to hell. So they focused on preaching the gospel, making sure people were born again, their faith was in Christ. But this was breaking down the walls of separation between the races and between the cultures. And William Davies, he not only preached to black audiences, but he and slave audience, but he also invited them to share in regular church observances, including the Lord's Supper. In 1757, he wrote, "What little success I have lately had has been chiefly among the extremes of gentlemen and Negroes. Indeed, God has been remarkably working among the latter. I have baptized 150 adults, and at the last sacramental solemnity, I had the pleasure of seeing the table graced with 60 black faces." Wow. And so the cultural barrier, the race barrier is being breached, and there's fellowship coming together between blacks and whites, between slave and free. George Whitfield also testifies to the great response of African Americans in his meetings. There was a great movement to Christianity among Africans at this time, both slave and free. In his description of preaching in Philadelphia, it is obvious that blacks and whites are together worshiping God and listening to the preaching. You see, this is before America was ever formed as a nation. There are no segregation laws. You know, there's probably customs where there's separation because of language and culture, but there are no official laws. And so in places like Philadelphia, where there was a lot more freedom, and there were many free blacks in Pennsylvania, blacks and whites worshiped together. And in his journal, and I've got this documented here in 1726, I hope you'll get a copy of this book, Whitfield told about preaching his final sermon in Philadelphia. And by the way, he preached primarily from the steps of the Philadelphia courthouse to massive crowds numbering 10 and 12,000 when the population of Philadelphia was 13,000. So the whole city practically is turning out to hear George Whitfield preach the gospel. And in this massive crowd are many black people. Probably most of them are free blacks who live there in the area. And so after his farewell sermon, he retired to his lodging where he was staying, and people began to stream there to tell him how they had been blessed through his ministry and what God had done for them. And in his journal, Whitfield said, "Near 50 Negroes came to give me thanks for what God had done for their souls." And Whitfield considered this an answer to prayer, saying, "I have been much drawn in prayer for them, and have seen them wrought upon by the word preached." Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. A tremendous response from Africans who were in America at the time, both slave and free, in this awakening. Whitfield also in his journal told about a black woman who was converted under his ministry. And she later became discouraged. and she prayed that the Lord would manifest himself to her. Shortly thereafter, both she and Whitfield were in a meeting. Yeah, they were there together, blacks and whites, worshiping together in this great awakening. You know, the Holy Spirit, a real work of the Holy Spirit, will break down prejudices and biases and cultural and racial divisions. A real revival and work of the Holy Spirit will do that. And Whitfield and she was in this meeting, and she was discouraged and had asked the Lord to manifest himself to her. And while this Baptist preacher was ministering, Whitfield said the word came with such power that this black woman began to cry out, and he said, these were his words, he said, she could not help praising and blessing God. And she was so loud, she drowned out the preacher. And when some criticized this woman for interrupting the preacher, Whitfield came to her defense, saying, he believed that in that hour when she burst forth, he said, I believe the Lord Jesus took a great possession of her soul. He went on to say, I doubt not when the poor Negroes are to be called, God will highly favor them to wipe off their reproach and show that he is no respecter of person. Oh, my friends, let God do that for you. Let God so highly bless you that he will wipe off any reproach that you feel you are carrying around, whether you're black or white or brown or whatever you may be. But that's what Whitfield said. Let me read that again. That's powerful. He said, I doubt not when the poor Negroes are to be called, God will highly favor them to wipe off their reproach and show that he is no respecter of persons. So in this great awakening, the evangelists are reaching out to the marginalized of society, preaching the gospel. Lives are being changed. Thousands are coming to Christ. Native American tribes, blacks, both slave and free, and whites. And in many cases, they are worshiping God together. And it is an incredible thing that is happening. Now, as I said earlier, the preaching of these earliest evangelists was primarily evangelistic in nature. But then, in the next generation of awakening preachers that came on the scene, they began to take a passionate and bold stand and to attack the institution of slavery. And this is where the moral outrage and this abolition movement that comes forth and is seen and impacts colonial America and impacts everyone of America's founders. And we'll talk about that more in our next podcast. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Check out my book, 1726, on Amazon or my website at eddiehyatt.com. And I'll see you for the next Awakening podcast.